gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the supreme, the amazing, the incredible. It's The Firm, episode 21.
Oh, fucking hell, never mind. No, welcome everyone, welcome. We're fresh off a tournament this week.
Fresh, red hot off a tournament.
And Alex, I don't know about you, but who took first and second place?
I think it was a purple clean sheet.
Walk into this tournament and go...
First and second? Yeah. First time I've ever placed at an event.
First time you placed and you got straight in first place.
Straight to the top. Boom. First ever tournament win. First ever tournament place across any system.
This is actually my first tournament back after nationals, and this is kind of the last tournament before season four.
Mm. Well, it literally is.
Yeah, it's kind of like the hurrah to season four in it, season three in many ways. I kind of wanted to come out of this one clean.
Mm.
Yeah, I think overall, I'm really quite happy with my performance. I'm happy with the games I played. I thought I played them well. Yeah, it feels like the final goodbye for the Hunter.
Times, they are a-changing.
They are a-changing. I don't think I can get away with... I don't even know what the fuck's going to happen.
Mm.
Like, you have that feeling of just going like, yeah, what, go, get my boys round. You've done really well. You've served me well. And I hope this is goodbye.
You stroke them gently.
Yeah. I've done really good to paint them. They're getting a bit chipped. Yeah. Keep flying off every fucking tournament. But yeah, how about you, Alex? How did you feel coming out of the tournament?
It's interesting because as we got out of the car and we were walking to the Firm studio, that is my basement, we got dicked at Nationals. At Nationals, we got dicked on, and we got dicked on hard. We did not perform well at all. And I think I felt better coming back from Nationals.
I said that before, that we were driving. Alex, give me the feeling we're a bit overly negative. We've come back from this tournament where we are literally first and second place. And yeah, the fact we got crushed at Nationals felt somehow a lot better than coming back from this tournament. I think for different reasons.
Yeah, so go on then, what's your reasons? Is it the final round?
You know what, I think it is this, you know. It's how often I get that within an inch of first place, and I'm usually on fire when I get to that final table, and it just goes wrong.
Mm. The problem then being that you feel a bit cheated, don't you? Getting to the top table, fighting for first place, and coming...
A bit, yeah. Mm. Not like, I'm not properly cheated. I have the attitude of anything is legit. If it's in the rules, if it's on the table, it's fine.
Mm.
You know, I'm a big proponent of get good.
Yeah.
Because all things take practice, and you can't just expect to be great at shit.
Yeah. What is it? They say 10,000 hours makes someone an expert.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, when you get to the final, well, in fact, let's leave that the final round. Yeah. I don't want to give any spoilers. Yeah. Who got first and second? Me and you. Who played grand finals? Fuck's sake. But yeah, it was a bit contentious at this one, like you come in fresh with your navigator.
Mm, those beautiful laser cut navigators.
Yeah, the TO went, you know, you've got laser cut MDF.
Mm.
Everyone agreed, navigators at all.
Yeah, they were like the tournament was to celebrate the navigator's original launch day. So with the spirit of that in mind, that's why Spuddy allowed it.
Well, you know, it's only in keeping with the spirit that I bring up.
So I brought navigators. You know, I've been excited for them for a while. You know, fish main player. I've been playing navigators since the cards have been available.
You have that thing, don't you? Where you've had this a few times. Where every time you get comfortable in something you enjoy in Guild Ball, kind of someone, usually me, come along going, "My fucking bullshit." Like it's not even.
Well, as soon as I get good enough with something to start beating you with it, that's when you go, "Oh, that feels. Oh,
no,
that feels."
I can go back into the history books if you want to play this game. I don't want to call it janky. It's not that. But it's, you know, you like your tech. I know you like it when things come together in the way you like it. We play literally on opposite ends of the table in terms of our play style, for the most part. I mean, just in the core way we play. I like to kill, you like to score goals. We're already at odds before we even started the game. The objectives are completely different. But I think it makes the way we interact with it a bit different. And like, every time we've got comfy with something, every time we've warmed up to like a... You warm up to the fisherman.
Mm.
You just go, fucking poor scare, man. Fucking shark. Yeah. All right, shark. fuck this guy, man. I can't fucking believe it. I know you had a bit of fun with Avarice and Greed when they were still a thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's Navigator. It's like, fuck Navigator. But this is one of the ones where we've come to a tournament and I felt weird. I've had a lot of practice in Navigator. I played more against Navigators now than I have against a majority of the team.
Yeah.
Just flat out, casual play. So I know them, and when we went to the tournament and you were playing Navigator, a lot of people didn't know them, didn't know what they were about.
Mm.
And it was hard to, I don't know, it's hard to put when you're kind of going in raw and, like, yeah, everything's legit. Like, yeah, you show up to the table and you go, here's what we can do, here's what we can't do. You know, react.
Yeah. Well, first thing I did when I sat down with everyone is, hello, I'm playing Navigators. Do you know what they do? Do you want me to go through the cards? You know.
And the other, but the core thing for me was that a lot of people, mentioned to me, like, going, oh, you know, got Navigators coming up or whatever, or what do you think? It's well known that people listen to the podcast at the tournament or whatever. So people knew that I am not cool with the Navigators. Me and the Navigators are not on speaking terms. So a lot of people kind of like going, oh, what do you think? And it kind of started out with people going like, yeah, come on, hey, Bottom Diddy, yeah, hey, you looking forward to this? And by the end of it, the entire tournament had turned on me, effectively.
But, like, yeah, I was going to get lynch mobbed.
I had a moment halfway through the tournament where I was talking to, like, we're talking like a group of 5 or 6 people. I went, oh, like, everyone was having a go at me for being negative on a podcast. One tournament in, everyone's like, in many ways, Ryan, I consider you a kind of prophet. Even you had, I know you had your moment of doubt, in a way.
It's soured it for me, you know. I've won this, it's the first tournament I've ever won, first tournament I've ever placed at, and I'm still left with this sort of, like, I don't know, I feel like when the inevitable Season 4 errata comes out, you know, like, a couple of months down the line where no matter how much playtesting you do, you cannot plan a game for a community.
Yeah.
Yeah? You could playtest a game within an inch of its life, yeah, with 100 playtesters. As soon as it goes out into the real world, that is when it will get broken.
Yeah.
So I would put money on there being a Season 4 errata by February next year. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I think once we come out the other side of that, if the Navigators haven't been touched, I'll feel much better. The amount of people who are saying that the re-rolls feel wrong, there was 2 suggestions people have come up with. People have either been telling me that you should either have to re-roll the entire roll, or re-roll however many dice you want, but you get it once per turn. Each model gets it once per turn, as an active trait sort of thing.
Okay.
And it's not how I thought the first time one event was going to go. I've been working for it. I've been pushing for it. I've wanted this since we started going to competitive events.
Yeah.
You know, I've been saying, like, when I came back from that last one at Leodis where you hadn't gone and I came fourth and that was the highest I'd ever placed, I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm getting good at this game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm practicing. I'm looking at cards. I'm trying. It's the first time I've ever tried at a game. And you know what? I'm getting fucking good at this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have it. Yeah. I'm mid tables. I'm mid to high tables. But I'm good. I'm gonna own that. And I've come away from my first ever win going, fuck. Like,
you know, Alex, you're a bit too. You're a really negative guy. I think half of it is 2 things. Like, you're going in with fresh tech. You know, people are not familiar with
it. I will say that everyone at the tournament, no one was going, like, no one was walking up to me and putting a finger in my face and going, you can go fuck yourself. You, Alex, you in particular can get to fuck, mate. People were going, oh, God, maybe they could do a balancing, maybe they could do that, you know. But no one was directing it at me. It was being directed at the tech, and it wasn't vicious, you know.
Yeah.
It was a friendly community talking about a new element to the game. I just want to get that baseline settled.
It was mainly a bit of friendly ribbon, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah.
A bank.
It was a bit of, you know, hashtag bants, lads, 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 which was all cool. I just want to get across that at no point was anyone getting emotional about it. Did no one sort of like feel, did no one like intentionally twist the knife, you know?
To be fair, I was probably the worst one. Everyone like, Navigator could not shout a feel, and I was walking up to you going, you cheating bastard.
Yeah, like, as I'm walking up to collect my prize yourself. Yes, well, I am. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Clearly I'm not.
I feel like our point will come across more. Let's get to the game, because maybe normal.
Yeah, let's...
Right, Alex, going in, you're round one.
Round one. Me and Tony have a history. and that history is 12-1. And that history is 12-1, genuinely not reflecting what's happening, you know? Like, I just want to... Oh, it's like, the things you look at that game and you go, oh shit, Tony got absolutely dicked. But he didn't. Like, yeah. he was...
He's always just on the verge of getting, like, 10 VP.
That's the thing, it's like, he's throwing Vetsinder in, you know, and he's just going, have it! And, like, I'm looking at there with, like, four models on, like, three health going, dee-doo, 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 dee-doo. I'm just going, oh god, they're going to get absolutely punished. Oh no, okay, I'm fine. Okay, cool, I'm going to go score a goal. I think I mentioned it last time I played him, that like, I was so scared of Vetsinder, I just got a big old fish hook, put it into tentacles, and just threw him out.
Yeah.
And this time, I took the same fish hook, shoved it into Horizon, and threw him out, because I was like, I know how Tony plays, I know that he's going to set up sort of, it's not a really tight scrum, it's just a wide sort of ball that his model slowly roll up the pitch, yeah? And I knew that's how he was going to play, and I thought, I want to be coming at that from both sides. I don't want my only route to the ball, being on the person who's at the back of that, to be going through the rest of these fuckers. Yeah. So a big fishhook goes into Horizon, throw him out there. Vetsinder ate Horizon, and I was just like, nice one. I bring him on from the other side. I'm now threatening wherever the ball is within this sort of patch of models.
Yeah.
Just as an aside, won all the games. The first 4 VP I won the same way every single time.
Yeah.
Mining Guild, get a plus one. Okay, I'll receive the ball. Bip, bap, bip, bap, bip. Fathom, goal. Yeah. That's how I got the first 4 VP.
So, someone who's on the receiving end of that, literally every time I played that game from Navigator, it feels impossible to stop.
Mm.
It really just, because you're so far away and your range comes out so far. It just, every time I'm on the receiving end of that, I'm almost getting to the point where I'm kind of going like, why am I trying to block this hard when it's not doing any work? Like, when I kick to you, I feel like I should give it up effectively. Just go, you've got it. All right, just pop my game back in there.
Mm.
I feel, okay, don't shock me that guy got his first 4 VP every time. Okay, if you get the ball, I think I should all but guaranteed outside of phenomenally bad luck.
Mm. So the first thing I'd do, if it was me on the receiving end of it, because I know what happens was, I put Fathom on the side nearest a bit of terrain from the deployment. It goes down the line, gets stack of momentum. When she receives the ball, she takes the 4-inch dodge, and then from there she either acrobatics into cover, or she's in cover and she heroics out to acrobatic to sprint to take the shot. Yeah. So I think if it was me, I'm sure there are people out there who know what to do against it. If it was me, I'd eat the first goal.
Yeah.
And then I'd sit on the ball. I'd park the bus, basically.
Well, yeah, you're getting scored against whether you eat or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, how'd the rest of the game go for Tony?
Putting a lot of damage out, you know, he had a lot of damage output. I think he went Captain Burnish, and he was getting the two fire belchers off, but he never went for, I don't think he ever blew the legendary.
Mm.
And the thing is, with the legendary one, you can actually kill Fathom. Yeah, it's five, yeah, it's not hugely likely, but that's how Jamie, another Blacksmith player I played today, almost killed Fathom, like almost wiped her out, which would have just...
For Burnish, I feel like if you can get two models in that flame belch, immediately just blow
it. But yeah, good game. Vetsinder was definitely his MVP, but it's the second time that I've sort of forced where Vetsinder's going. Because it's the sort of, in the same way that I look at that, the football fish and the navigators, turn one, you're getting scored against.
Yeah.
I look at Vetsinder as, in the same way that I look at Vet Rage, it's like the game is now on a clock. It's like Vetsinder is taking someone out every turn, yeah? All you can do is try and force the Blacksmith player to pick someone you don't want them to go in on.
Yeah.
Like, throwing Ed in the way, like, you know, well, at least you might not take him out. Well, in fact, I don't think she can take him out.
Yeah.
So, like, Ed goes up, just... That's momentum 7.
No, it's not.
Yeah. That's why I really like Ev was really good into Blacksmith today. And Horizon was good to get the reset. Good game. Really enjoy playing Tony. Really enjoy it every single time.
Yeah. New and upcoming player.
Mm. And I said this when I played him. Every single time I play him, it's harder and harder every single time. I just want him to get off that fucking 12-1. I feel like it's a dam, because like, it's every time my models are really low on health, one more flame belch would have killed like two people.
Yeah.
Like, a Vetsinder would have killed two people with one charge. Like, it's that thing, like, that the dam was ready to break. That one was going to be five like that. It just never happened.
Yeah.
But one thing Tony said to me, actually, was that he's noticed between our last two games, I've become much better at the reactive play,
yeah,
which is something I've noticed in our games. So so it's nice that it's clearly come through.
And I think I'm kind of glad you're getting on board the reactive train. I know you like your effects effectively, and you know reactiveness gets in the way of it sometimes. Yeah, like it's such a strong way to play. And I think having played like that, where you actively go, I'm giving something up to cash that in later, and literally have them go, okay, we've already had a few games, haven't we, where you put a model forward, and I go, all right, I know what you go. Okay, you give me him, I'll take it. I'm taking the bait. Fuck it.
And the thing is that it's so easy to do, because the amount of times where you look at it and you go, this is a trap. Why am I falling into the trap? Maybe I can outsmart the trap. You can't outsmart the trap. That's why the trap's there. I think I can outsmart the trap. Oh, I didn't outsmart the trap. It's like I was saying that no matter how experienced you are, there is that flash moment where you just go, and it's oh no, if I give you that takeout, you get 2 goals.
That's why my thing, so I'm just like a couple of times I've played with it, I've just kind of gone, yeah, I know what you're doing, I'll have it. And then, like, it's not a particular excitement, it's like going, but almost like ahead of time going, I know you think you're being really clever, motherfucker. And you are, but I'm.
You think you're so fucking clever. Well, you are, you dick.
It's almost kind of like that moment of master and apprentice style, like going, it's almost like that chess thing, isn't it? Going like, you put your queen out there, going, and capture that if you want. You know, I'll get a go, fine, I'll trade queens. my first game, kind of the opposite end for me. I got a kind of weirdly, a much more experienced player. In fact, a player people came to me ahead of time and went, you're up against Chris. The guy knows what he's doing. Oh, fucking great. We keep playing church. Shit.
Chris knocked me from third place to fourth place at the last event I was at the Otis.
Not a bad player at all. Mm. And a fun guy to play against. He went for church, brisket, pride, figure, veteran fang too.
Harry
the Hat.
Missed?
Yeah, I'm fairly sure. I've got a bad memory today. I've had a lot going on today. But he had a striker, another striker to pad out. Half of it. For half the game, I didn't realise figure was figure. I thought the model had a kind of weird, he's got a robe. And I thought it was great. So it took me like half the game to realise it was fucking figure. I had them all like, shit, it's figure, kill him.
You dickhead.
And had a couple of straight up, like, you were getting ready to run Fangtooth in there, and he had Fangtooth using Flagellant to clear conditions on people. We were gradually racking up a fair bit of damage, healing it here and there. But he was, taking damage, and I had a couple of, straight up pinned Fangtooth he's done this turn.
Yeah.
And I was able to negate a bit of damage, because Fangtooth came in on me, but charged in, bang, momentum 6, momentum 3. And, like, going, even with Tough Hide, that was like going 7 damage after Tough Hide, and one more swing, and it was like, 3 down or 2 for like half clean of health in a fucking go.
Yeah.
No tooled up, no nothing. And I'm getting pretty worried about that. The luck with the dice were on my side that turn as well.
Yeah.
Chris, bless him. He was going for not a goal to win, but a goal to make it, to put him into takeout territory.
Yeah.
12-7. I was on 10. Yeah, 10-7 at the time, and he wanted the goal. Preferably if he got with a bomb in the game. He tried to fill it up. He went in on Chaska. I did the counter attack and I double pushed him out of range. He wasn't done though. He tried to pass it around and try and get a bit of I'm open going. Tried to pass out, didn't get it. He could intercept it every time, but he couldn't get the momentum back. More importantly, he couldn't get the dodges back. So he had like four kicks over the course of the game, all passing, and it didn't, at no point did it scatter to such a far, no, I think one scattered out of like, no one can intercept. But it was literally just a case of the other model walked back, walked forward, collecting it. It wasn't game ruining, but it was draining him a bit, drained momentum, drained his kind of, not momentum, but I mean actual momentum, like it drained the flow of the match.
Yeah. I feel like, I think I said this, as you were telling me this, as we were going to grab something to eat, I remember saying to you, you know what, I can see where the Americans are coming from now. You know how the sort of meta seems to be that the Americans prefer the takeout because it's more dice rolls, mean you're going to get statistically more average results across it, you know. Whereas the goal game seems to be a lower volume of dice rolls, but each one is more crucial.
Yeah.
You know, and I can really see where that's done. I can definitely see that.
Okay, every time he attempted a shot on goal, he got it. And he had like good takeouts and stuff. I feel like where the dice really mattered, he was fine. It's just in those kind of weird, basically jank plays that were like going, I wanna get a shitload of passes and a shitload of free dodges. It wasn't quite going for him. And Pride gave his own models a bit of protection. With rushkeeper, it made me reluctant to go into half of the field, knowing Pride would be throwing in fucking potential knockdown from crowd out.
That's the difficult thing, though. If you're afraid to go into his half of the pitch, then he's got six models between him and the goal to worry about. You know, you've not got that one deep like to open up a portion of the field.
Yeah, I generally like a player to come into my half of the pitch. I like takeout game, and I like one of my favourite counter strategies for getting rid of kicking teams is for them to draw into me, and then I kick past them onto their end of the field.
Yeah, you've got me with that a few times. I've started keeping the model right back for that.
Yeah, and it can be game ruining for a lot of players. Like I said, he had a couple of... Again, the ball position didn't largely change. The people who needed the ball got it, but he couldn't get the teamwork action. No 4-inch dodging, you know, and it kind of...
What are you going to do,
fucking Cena were... And he had one thing, Spigger, from, like, Smed and Health, and he got two armour. For Hard of Walk, shame on the charge, you know, got single now, all that shit. And triple rack, Smed, fucking 8 damage, bang, take Spigger straight out. And it clearly hadn't occurred to him that it was doable.
Yeah.
And he had that thing of, like, well, he probably occurred to him... doable, you just didn't think I'd get it.
Yeah. Well, it's taken me by surprise before when you've, like, there's been more than one occasion where you've gone, okay, for Hard Furious, and I'm like going, alright, okay, here we go. And it's when you go, okay, that's 3 dice, 4 for the charge, plus this many crowd outs, that's when I start going, oh shit, and you're like singled out from Hearn, and then you go, snared, so 3s and 1, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah. And then you're just like, okay, that's 4 wraps. Yeah.
Then when you add that snared into it with Isolated Tire, you can easily push like 6 damage, very fucking doable on the right cell. Okay, just having Hearn alone go in, snared, was skewered, weaken up, hurt the health, singles out, and his own crowd out on top of that. Yeah, you can have some absolutely fucking nightmarish activations if I had. I never do it, cause I'm so low on influence on my team, but I'm always tempted to put a couple on for Had, you know, just keep attacking after the fact. But it never really comes up for me. I had a couple of surprise activations where, yeah, veteran fanatic came forward, and with 2 defence, when I was adding conditions, piving on tack, crowd out, snared. Cena and Hearn teamed up on him, and they just ran a fucking train for his health. He'd already lost half his health almost, coming just from using flagellant on his side of the pitch. And when fanatic did come in, shitloads of damage, horrific damage. But more importantly, another thing I like about being on my side of the pitch, when I kill models, it takes them a long time to come back. When they kill my models, I'm back in the action relatively quickly, and yeah, it was just a kill, bear hug, take out, and yeah, a couple of cheeky, chat if I had charge, Cena having a good day, but for the most part, just straight up goal first and kills won that day. Round 2,
yeah, my round 2, I took Adam, a relatively new Butchers player. Like, I was talking to Spuddy, the TO, after the game, and he was saying, oh yeah, Adam's been playing about 6 weeks. I was like, 6 weeks? You're fucking kidding me, he's going to be a nightmare in 2 months. It was actually quite funny watching him, because afterwards Bud was saying that he was saying, yeah, I've been teaching him how to play Butchers. I was like, you know what, it came through so much. Like, the amount of times I was just looking at the table going, like, Adam would do something, I'd go, Spud, you dick.
Yeah, you reckon I can cut off.
Yeah. 12-9 win to me. But my God, the first half of this game, I thought I was out. I was like, I'm done. He owned it. He just had me. Everyone was coming in. My models were just disappearing left and right, and I couldn't get away from them. I couldn't get away from just the volume of damage he was putting out.
Yeah.
I don't play into Butchers a lot. They're one of them teams where Alchemists I don't like playing, because I played like 3 games against them. So whenever I see them, I go, I have literally no idea what you do. You know, Blacksmiths I don't like them, because they take my good results away from me, they take my toys away. Then Butchers, I'm just really scared of them.
So they can push themselves into damaged territory that just other guilds can't even hope of getting. In fact, I don't know many other guilds outside of super janky shit who can push +3 damage. I think +2 is the maximum for a lot of guilds outside of like cards, you know, tooled up a special character player, and maybe a card like kicking while they're down, maybe helping you out. But for the Butchers, they can quite easily push themselves into a special box, into ridiculous damage territory, where even a single hit becomes 4 damage, where they're just wiping out a third of your health. It's like hitting a dice. They need the fill, and they suffer in other departments. But when the train gets moving, and having bleed as well. Because like I say, the thing about bleed, it's not even the 3 damage, it's when you clear it, you've foregone the heal, which you already need. And if you don't, you suffer the bleed. So you're kind of limited in how you get out of that, yeah.
There was times when I was healing a model, knowing he was going to lose three, but I'm like, well, if I clear the condition, he's only going to heal, inverted commas, three. I might as well get the net one afterwards, because I know, because you're looking at them going, oh, he's out of range and everything, I might as well try it.
More importantly, if you're already bleeding, you can't re-bleed you.
Yeah.
If you cure bleed, you come in with boiler, one damage, you bleed again.
No.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times I was just like, clear condition, and he was like, you're bleeding again. And I was like, fuck's sake. But I was saying to him, I got a really lucky breakaway, scored goal off the back of it. I can't remember who it was, managed to slip away and get a snapshot off him.
Yeah.
And then he scored with Fillet, which gave me the opportunity to kick back out, and I got another snapshot off Horizon.
Yeah.
I spent the entire time that was happening, Princess was 4 inches away from Horizon, having not activated. And every time I flipped the clock back over to him, I was touching the clock and going, don't touch Princess, leave Princess there. All she had to do was jog up to Horizon, and that would have shut that shit down, you know, going up to receiving the pass on a 5 instead of a 4, and then going down to 1 dice
for the snapshot.
And I was just like, fuck, well, the snapshot wouldn't have been on, you know, and it's a 2 dice kicker going down to 1 dice. You got the reroll,
you have
the bonus time, you know. It was and I was just looking at it again, just don't move princess. I said to him afterwards, I was just saying that the first half of that game he had me completely on the ropes. I had a fortunate breakaway and there was opportunities where he could have just shut it down that he just missed. He's only been playing 6 weeks, so I think we should forgive him that.
No, I think we let him off for that. Yeah.
He's good, like when he's he's gonna run through people.
And he seemed like a pretty funny guy to be with.
Yeah.
I was like, he seemed to be having a good fucking time.
Yeah.
I went up against JP from our local, you know, meta, and me and JP have faced off a fair few times. And weirdly enough, I think almost every time I played against JP, he played like a different team. He's one of the first guys I played with my Hunter team when we originally started, you know, taking Guild Ball a bit more seriously.
Mm.
And I've never changed my fit. I played him with a hunter and some fish, then he brewer, and I think I played him once with brewer before. And usual, I consider the brewer a good matchup for the hunter for a couple of reasons. Like, yeah, they fuck with movement and they fuck with defense. And when you're already low defense, not only does it push you into either 2 defense, which is a nightmare, but it can push you into +2/+ attack territory.
Mm.
So you're already getting a 2, you're rolling for 2, and then you get an extra dice on top of the lower defense. And more importantly, lower defense really helps my character play.
Mm.
And me and Jake had a talk about the game afterwards. But my main strategy against the Brewers is always the same. I want to keep it in my half of the pitch. Now, we talked about afterwards. I said, like, we've both got a bubble of punch. And if I can't punch you, I'm not going to go into a range where you can punch me back. I'm going to keep out your range every time.
Mm.
Knowing you'll have to extend into me. Either some model's going to go out on their own, or you're going to play back. In that case, I'll keep putting the snare up, and I'll keep fucking with movement and stuff like that, and giving you a nightmare. Because when I've got stuff like Hearn about, one of the things I like about Hearn, he can strike out and then retract.
Yeah.
Again, modular movement, fucking amazing. But yeah, he can put himself out there and then retreat, and it's hard for... I did that with Hearn at one point. Kind of left him out there, put the forest near him, knowing the guy playing the game has got one good activation, hoping to set up another model, and Hearn should leave.
Yeah.
Is it
something like 7 inches he can teleport? Because he has to be within 4 inches of the forest, and then he can step on the far side of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he got a good fucking movement. If he hasn't jogged, he can play from anywhere within the forest. Mm. Great for re-engaging. Great for... fucking just great. But yeah, but JP and me have already talked about this before. The way I play this matchup, I know JP does not like. Like, it's a matter of personal preference, but it's frustrating when you're the Brewers and you've got fucking Hooper, who's got 5'7". No, sorry, 4'7". I fucking snipe you, or whatever. Great, I've got 5-inch sprint, and I've got 8-inch distance alone. Oh my, you can't reach me.
Yeah.
If it was just Hooper versus Ferran, I go to 8-inch, snipe you. If I get the hit, you can't reach me without clearing conditions. If you've got the momentum, you're fucked, aren't you? And that's a big part. To be fair, I think that's just the way you play the matchup.
Mm.
But that doesn't necessarily make it enjoyable for the other player. But it's a hard one. You know, you don't want to make people feel put out. You are playing the game at the end of the fucking day. Like, it's game if you take the shit. You know, it's a bit of fun. So when I'm playing a bit too overly conservative, and I'm basically hanging back, I'm basically fucking camping out and going, I'm not walking walking into your range,
yeah,
you come to me. I get like if you're the Bruins player in that situation, you're going, I'm taking all the risks, I'm doing all this, I'm advancing the game basically, and I'm just waiting for you to come in and just beating the shit out of your model. I get it, but I think that's the way you play the matchup straight up, and I think it's why the Hunters is such a good matchup for the Bruins. But yeah, like we got to 12-8, and you know, JC, like, you know, we got to a point where my win was all but guaranteed. I had Cena and Hearn ready to activate, and fucking Farron as well, and they were gonna, and you know what Hearn's like, if Hearn kept Cena up and goes base to base, you are about to have a nightmare of a time.
Singled out, snared, crowd out,
and the crowd out, yeah, plus three tack, plus one damage on already just regular attack, 10 tack, you know. And then you're on your 2-1 model, knocked down, extra dice, you know, it's not a fucking good look. And more importantly, I had a nightmarish activation. I tend to be a bit forgetful on these games, and one of the things going to a tournament situation, a big problem I have, that I tend to treat tournament situation a bit too much like I'm at home. Like, so I moved Fahad up and I forgot to heal her, and as I was putting the clock over, I went, oh shit, I've got a healer. And he didn't fundamentally change the play, like what I was having Fahad doing was the same regardless, but you know, it can sometimes rub you the wrong way when you play. But okay, JK was like going, you know, after the activation was done, I had an activation where I pinned Hooper and I threw Fahad in the way of Hooper and Ferran, kind of going, who's going to come in? Fuck it, you can have Fahad. He'll take the 1 VP as opposed to the 2. And once he's moved, the turn's over. Like, the Bruins don't have any dodging tech. Like, once he's there. So he brings Estes in to kill Fahad. And what happens is, I have Cena waiting on the other wing. Cena's ready to kill Spigot. Like, that setup is ready to rock. And instead of going for Spigot, I run into Spigot's range, but I charge Hooper. So Hooper went from having a clear line to Ferran to engage him and fucking put a beat down on him, to I literally get a double push him behind one of his own models, and you know, pinned.
Yeah.
If you go behind one of your own models, what they've already activated, it's over.
The problem with pinned is the amount of times that you just go, oh, that's full stack of influence gone.
Yeah. Again, when you're on my team, you've got 10 influence. Yeah. Like, even if I took the 3 off him, we'd be on even influence.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking Cena goes in, and it was a bit of an unexpected play, you know, just pushed him behind, and once I'd taken that damage potential off him, it had that snowball effect in the game, where it was becoming increasingly harder for JK to start racking up damage. And I've been on the other side of that equation with the Brewers. I quite like them as a team, and my main thing with the Brewers is like, yeah, if you have a couple of bad turns and you can't get the ball rolling, no pun intended, and we even had this later on in the tournament, when the more increasingly hard it is to get the ball rolling, the more desperate your play have to get,
yep,
to try and close the gap. So you go from making really safe decisions to like going, I just need to fucking bring it. I need to go all out to try and actually recoup from my VP, and it won't happen. Like, that's the thing. I'd gotten control of the ball. I'd killed Friday, who had the ball on her. She tackled it off me, and I had a scatter that immediately put it back in Jake's hands. He was back to the shadow halfway up the pitch.
Yeah,
weren't getting that ball back. And more importantly, Jake's 9-inch sprint. He ran for a goal himself at that point. So yeah, Jake was like, you know, concede, you know, and we had a bit of a post game chat where he kind of went, you know, going like, I don't like playing the game that style of play. But we had, you know, we chatted shit. We had the bro to bro.
Water under the bridge, we're all friends again.
Yeah, it's one of the things where, you know, I get it. Cause when you're playing against someone, like, especially in the tournament setting, and at the end of the day, that's the thing that always comes back to. I go, wait a minute, I'm in a tournament here, I'm trying to fucking win this thing. And I go a bit hardcore with it. But I also don't, in some way. That's the thing, I take the casual element, that's the problem I have. I take the casual element that I'm okay with. But yeah, me and Jake had a good chat about the game afterwards, and I always get along well with it. And not to mention, I think he plays, I do think the Brewers are the weakest team in the game at the moment, season 3. And if they're the weakest team in season 3, I view the Hunters as one of their worst matchups, precisely because of that thing I can do to them. I can keep in my half, if you don't extend to me, I'll just keep peppering your character plays, keep you out of my range, and I'll just whittle you down. If someone, even if you have, and the thing you had Bet Decimate come in and have a hellish activation, she had, you know, the Bet Decimate activation,
yeah,
walks in, fucking makes lunchable meat out of fucking everyone, and then score from goal. I'm like going, okay, now that's done with, I eat her, now I can slow the pace of the match down.
Yeah.
And that's how I, to be fair, that's how I play. My thing's kind of going, when you extend into me, counterpunch, like, bring the pace of the match down, so you're not just having these ridiculous activations where you're just cutting people up and two takeouts. I'm going to make you pay for every other thing. Frustrating to play against, but still a good game. I like to think I'll play that right, but yeah, it's just one thing. You hate to kind of, you know, I'm basically playing to be frustrating. when I turn around and go, yeah, I'm going to play this really annoying, frustrating way, and my opponent gets a bit annoyed and frustrated at me. I can't turn around and go, I don't know what.
What's the problem?
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think the rivalry between me and JK is over by a long shot. I get the feeling I'm going to see him again soon. Mm. And, yeah, I think it's always good to, even though sometimes you get a bit put on top of the game, it's always good to, you know, have a quick chat, you know, effectively, you know, give each other a pat on the back, and we had a bro moment. Mm. And you know, you walk away feeling good. Like, it kind of, I know it's weird to say it, but kind of the reason you go to tournament, mm-hmm. to meet and, like, get on with people. So, yeah, had a good time with that game. Over to round three.
Rolling into round three, yeah. I played Blacksmith again. Captain Burnish again. Throughout the entire tournament, I just ran the Navigator 6. I didn't swap in Siren or Angel at all. This game started off with a hellish Burnish activation. Burnish trundled up, fired off 3 Flame Belchers. You know, legendary goes round 1. You know, and Fathom was left on 4 health. He was tooled up, so if the third one had hit, Fathom would have been taken out. The only person I had left to activate, I was just, if that last one had hit, I think the game would have gone a different way. It went 12-7 as it was. I don't even really remember it. It was just so, it was really fast and hard fought the entire game.
Yeah.
It was just really, really good, solid game. Honestly, don't know what else you can say about it. It was just, like, it was just so fast and back and forth. And, you know, like, it went 12-7 and it was just it was just a barrage of takeouts that were happening from the Blacksmith side. The only thing was that I managed to get the ball and score twice because he kicked back out to iron both times. I didn't know if he was trying to set up for an iron goal or if he was just trying to keep it on a 2 armor model.
Yeah.
The problem being that with the Navigators, like, it was on iron. I'd played one of us had played the grudge match card. Iron had singled out on him. Windfinder full speed ahead on herself, charged into him. Got the wrap.
Yeah.
So I got the I took the tackle at the bottom of the book. I took the momentous tackle double dodge at the top of the book. Took the point of momentum. Took the ball because of the double tackle. Took the dodge out and got the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ball comes back out. I start threatening it up one side of the pitch. So Vetsinder goes, gets it, drops it back on iron. At which point it was someone just flew straight in, got it straight back off him because close control had already been popped. You know, he's two and two. You know, 2 armors, not great. But when your defense is only 2, and at that point the only thing I'm failing on is a 1, and I need to roll a 1 twice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was a good game. Really, really enjoyed it. Spoke to Jamie afterwards, actually. Yeah, I've only been playing a couple, 6 weeks. I was just like, it's going to be fucking devastating. Because there's some of the little things, it was like, he knew what all the Navigators did. He knew what they all did. So it was just a case of, some of the finer things. Like, if it was me, I would have put the ball on. Anvil was already in cover.
Yeah.
Sledge was near him. If it was me, I'd put the ball on Anvil with Sledge just as a bodyguard. You know, like, are you going to get through a crowd out from Sledge, a point from cover, and 3 points of armour?
Yeah.
It's not quite as likely as going into a 2-2 iron.
Anvil's an amazing ball holder, especially in cover. And especially with Sledge floating round, waiting to, okay, counter punch.
Yeah.
Like, if someone goes, right, I'm going to fucking go into Anvil, right, I'm going to try and get a fucking ball off him no matter what. If they just end up sitting on him, assuming you don't counter attack and knock him down anyway, yeah, the fact that Sledge can just walk around the corner and go, oh, that's how you want it, fucking boom. And even if you've got, you know, great defence, that's the good thing about Pile Driver, get around defence.
That's it. There was one point he took tutelage, took Pile Driver, charged into Fathom, who had the ball and was well on for a goal run, and it was just like, oh, I didn't get anything. Doesn't matter because I got the tackle anyway. Yeah. I was like, cool.
Fucking pick up, drop.
Literally gets it for free. Yeah, quality. Yeah.
Yeah, great. It's just a great fucking play. Yeah. Again, that's the thing I love about Anvil and Sledge. Work so well together.
Mm.
Or almost too well together. They're completely dependent on each other for great stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about them when they're together. Sledge helps Anvil out so much. Even though Anvil's so hard to, and Anvil helps Sledge out so much. If people start bullying Sledge, Anvil can go
it's
in there.
It's almost like they were designed to work together.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, I'm glad that one did turn out. Oh, how was round 3, Alex? Yeah, good game. Moving on. On my round 3, I went up against a guy called Sam, Vet Rage player. I was actually really, those last 2 wins I had, I wasn't 100% sure about. The Church game could have gone either way. Game with JK, I didn't feel confident until it got to the later stages. Up until then, it always felt like I was on activation from having wiped off the face of the fucking earth. So I went on a roll, but I knew the Vet Rage guy coming up, and I fucking hate the Vet Rage team. These were a strong team. Vet Rage got a Strongbot, you know, Harry, I think Harry from Molotov. It almost didn't matter. Mint, there we go. He kicked to me, and I wasn't able to get Fahad. He kicked, ended up kicking really far into my line. Fahad grabs the ball, runs off, nimble.
Good luck, Mint.
And the thing is, like, he couldn't reach her. Like, I'd gone that far out with Fahad that he couldn't even reach her with even this movement, you know. So that made it automatically quite difficult for him to begin with. And then, like, we had a couple of concepts in this game that came up really well. Like, I did a couple of my things. A, punch, counter punch. I tried to keep him, I tried to keep out of his range while remaining in mine. Bait model, throwing Hearn out there for Gutter to come in on, knowing he wants that Red Fury, fuck you manoeuvre. I go, oh, Gutter's just running a train on Hearn now, out of there, before that rage even shows up, so you can't get that plus one damage. Ridiculous activation. Using pin where it really mattered, getting it on that rage, knowing I'm blocking off his charge lanes, keeping models out of at weird angles where his own models are getting in the way of rage, getting furious. And when I finally went in on that rage, it was Cena going base to base, going, even if you blow the 2-inch dodge, you can't get that furious now. Without taking me on and going through the fucking motions effectively. And by then it was kind of already too late. And that was another one. Two bear hugs, two takeouts. And or three takeouts, I think. Yeah, three takeouts, two bear hugs. And it just made it really difficult. He got a goal, but even he said, he kind of went, I'm just getting a goal to get points on the board at this point. Because the second he got the goal, I kicked it out to the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, he was occupied on one half of the pitch. Not the vertical line, he was on one horizontal line of the pitch. So yeah, just one, my right side of the pitch was completely empty. And I had complete control of the left side, kicked it into the empty right one. He knew we weren't getting that ball back no matter what. And I was on 9 VP, and Harry the Hat had already gone. Even though he was on full health, I put a couple of influence on everyone, and basically had them one after the other just walk in and get a couple of attacks off, just in case he counter-attacked and tried to push him away. And everyone was just grabbed. And the reason I did that as well, if I had one big activation, it gave him a chance to heal up the one big activation. So the idea is, I went in with a couple, one model, did a bit of damage, he tried to heal it up, cure the conditions. Another model went in, put the conditions and the damage back on, and he couldn't keep up with the heal. So that allowed me to push Harry down to free health, and then Cena came in with four crowd outs, snared, knocked down, singled out.
I actually saw, because I saw from where you were standing that Harry was surrounded. I saw the knockdown tokens and stuff on him, and I was speaking to Spartan, and I just sort of tapped him and went, oh my god, look at this. And I just saw you go, okay, that's seven dice for the attack, that's the singled out, they're the crowd outs, that's the charge. And you sort of struggled to pick the dice up, and I was just going, oh my god.
Well, yeah, on Harry, who for two, at that point, a free, he's a free one model naturally, so I've already got snared on him, knocked down, singled out, so I've already, I'll get my seven tack, nine for singled out, 13 tack for all the crowd out, bonus time 14 tack, then lowered conditions, which pushed me to 15 tack, 2-1 model. And I just ran in there, fucking ate him with the bear, and he knew he was coming. And like, I literally couldn't hold all the dice I'm playing. And we had a couple, and another concept that came up in it was that we've talked about before, giving something up. He had a couple of times for that rage where he basically went, I can't get the furious and I can't really do much, you know, I'd have to dodge to get the furious. And I won't have any influence remaining. So instead of just going, fuck it, I have no choice, take the dodge, do the charge, get what I can. He literally gave up the entire thing. Instead of going, I have to spend two to get the charge, did nothing. And I feel like going, I know, and to be fair, he wasn't just going, whatever. He didn't want to extend that rage. But he turned getting, you know what I'm like, I'd rather get something than nothing. And it made it really hard for that rage to get into actual play. So when it really counted, when he really needed that rage up there now, he'd given up a shitload of range. So I'd say, I'd only extended her now purposely to attract Gutter and Rage, knowing that he couldn't, if he'd have done the full charge on the previous turn, attacking whoever, even if he hadn't done much damage and I'd got away anyway, it would have turned it from, you know, I don't know, Vet Rage would have been able to strike up a model then, because he'd given up that movement to try and keep Vet Rage a bit too safe. It meant when Hearn left, there was just nothing. Like, even with the dodge then, he couldn't even, so there were two turns where Vet Rage did almost nothing at all. He had one good Red Fury turn, but it gave me chance to heal up. It turned what would have been a really optimal activation, and again, he didn't get Bleed Coin off once because of how conservatively he played with that. Again, and I said to him, like, and I brought the activation up to him, went, going, just sometimes just pay the price. I know I don't sort of to give two informants up and go dodge, get the angle, charge.
Yeah.
I just give, just pay the price. Just so every now and then, just go fuck it.
Pay the piper.
Yeah, just yeah. I know that I've got to pay the cost, get in there, because that's what it's for, to give hand. And but yeah, really fucking fun guy, and I know it's weird to say, like, going strategically, he seemed to have, he had a hard time getting the ball rolling. Because it's clear that he saw the way I was playing, bubbling back. And again, you know, I'm a big fan of that style of player. He saw what I was doing and then didn't want to extend into me.
Yeah.
So he played it back. But the problem is he wasn't doing it with the whole team. He wanted Vet Rage and Gutter to do their thing. Full stacks on him, fucking, yeah, plus one damage, plus one attack, fucking driving blows.
But then there was no one there to back him up.
No one there to give him a hand. And in the meanwhile, I was just slowing them down with Harry. Then Harry and Minx were trying to come in. By the time Minx got in there to give them a hand, my other model shanged up on her, because the gutter threat had already been taken care of. Vet Rage couldn't come into me without flat out giving me a hellish activation. And more importantly, by the time he'd extended, I was on really heavily on my side of the pitch. I'd managed to deny the ball to me for aging, so I'd already killed for trying to even come and collect the ball before. And so he'd gone all the way around trying to get the goal. And it was literally by the end of that, I was like going, I was spoiled for choice of who I killed, almost. Even if I wasn't going for the bear hook, if I just had to kill Harry and take 2 VP, easily could have spread it out and done a thing. And yeah, God bless him. Like, by the end of it, when he brings his models back on, he's like, Vet Rage and got to come back on. They're never going to make it. I hate that feeling of you roll it out, but you know it's the last turn. When I've got Harry the Hat with 4 fucking ground outs and all the conditions in the world, just that feeling of going, because you know, I didn't want to take the risk of not having all the conditions, but also meant the turn took a bit longer than it really fucking should have done. But yeah, the good thing is he had a really good sense of humour about it. It was like a strong box walks up, not bad. Going like, right, Harry the Hat's going to go in. Does he make it in the strong box aura? Oh shit, I have to tag your model. and he made a bit of a game of it, you know. He had a good time. And really fun to play against. And I think he'll get way better very quickly. But he's very new to the game. And he mentioned that coming in. I don't want to make out this guy was like some shit hot player I'd run a train on. Like, he said, I'm really new to this. It's my first time on the clock. It's not like going, it's not like some really hardcore player. But yeah.
So are you proud of yourself?
Oh, fucking immensely, yeah. But if Sam does end up listening to this, I love, like, there were a couple of players.
I love you.
There were a couple of players who I mentioned always kind of have a place in my head where I go, don't matter what happens to get, I'm always going to have a good time against this guy. Like, you know, I've talked about him before, Matt Walker and stuff like that. Guys who I just know I'm going to have a good game against. It's such a relief sometimes, you know. It's hard not to get intense with it. And sometimes they're so light-hearted, you can't help but light-hearted back. So even if you're really serious, their attitude makes you not be serious. So you go like, alright, you're leaning over going, I'm going to fucking murder this guy. And he's like, oh, it really is nice to be here playing a bit of Guild Ball. It just makes you calm down, you know. And literally, you walk away going, like, that's why I attend tournaments, to shake hands with people like this. Really fucking nice guy. We on to round 4?
Yeah. But that's one of the reasons why, like, when the round was drawn and I saw that it was Tony, I know that we always have a great, fun game. I know that we're always going to be, like, laughing as we play. You know, it is quality when you go to these events and you see people and, you know, because I remember my first couple of tournaments, I remember not knowing anyone. It's a really weird environment to walk into. Like, as someone who's never played a war game before, going into a tournament, it is a bizarre environment to be in. So the fact that there are, like, people who you can have a laugh with and stuff, while you're, because you can have a laugh with almost every single person in the room between rounds when you're having a coffee or whatever.
I don't want to give, like, the false impression. Like, there are plenty of guys to play against, so I have good games against, I have fun games against, but it's really intense.
Yeah.
And that's part of what I enjoy about the game. But sometimes it's like, you know, ebbs and flows. You don't want it to be like that all the time, and it's the different people that give you the different experiences. It's good to have basically what I call it, break games, where it's not the end of the world if you lose, you know what I mean. And even me and you, as well, if we know each other, don't play like that. Like, me and you have quite intense games, and I like that, and it's why I play against you more often than anything else. Also, I live up the road from you, which helps. But and even though we get along really well, at the end of the day, even me and you don't play like that. I can't remember last time we had a casual fuck it game where we were both like going, whatever. You're just like going, Guild Ball, what a game. We both end up, like, there's so many games.
I can tell you the last game we had like that, and it was when we played the Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah, just like, Yeah, because it's not how we play it. And I enjoy it for that reason. Like, I don't want to make out that the games we have are, like, too intense and I don't enjoy them. I have a really good time with them because they're intense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have a play like that. You can just breathe a little bit.
It's like everyone in the room, you know that between rounds, you can stand there with a coffee and have a chat and have a laugh with. But it's sometimes nice to bring that onto the pitch, you know? Well, you're still both trying your hardest. You're playing your hardest. But something about the game just is lifted a bit because you're both having a really nice time as you do it. Yeah.
Well, it's like that, even stuff like UFC, you get into the ring, you beat the shit out of each other, and almost all the time, they end with a hug and a chat about the fight. Literally knocked a guy unconscious, hand him up, going, yeah, man, ball around. And yeah, that's just part of being involved in an activity together. Mm. Like, and it's a great thing. And I'm glad that people bring different things. I don't want to go, if you don't play the game lighthearted, and make it, you know, it's not the way to play. I mean, I like the people who take it really seriously. I like the people who just can chill out and do their thing. And I'm glad to see Sam is one of them players. I'm really looking forward to playing against him again at another tournament.
He's coming to our tournament, I think.
Fuck yeah! See you then, brother!
So then we go on to the fourth and final
round. Who did you play in round four?
Some bloke who turned up wearing a shirt with his podcast written on it, thinking he was the big I am, thought he was going to win the tournament.
Right, real talk, right? How much were you shitting yourself in that before going into that grand final?
I said to a couple of people, I'm going to lose this. I said, I'm going to lose this now, and because of how rounds work, I'm going to go from fighting for first place, and I'm going to come like fourth or something.
Yeah.
Like, I said, I was just going, kind of sucks a bit. I said, I can't believe I'm going to lose this.
I know that...
And people going, what are you on about? Look how well you've done so far today. Look how we've done. And I was like, yeah, but when we play, I think I was saying to people, like, Ryan wins like 75% of our casual games.
But I remember when you came up to ahead of time going, like, we had a bit of a quick, like, oh, we're both me versus you for grand finals, motherfucker. And the thing I had was, like, you came in and go, like, you win a majority of our games, you're going to win.
Mm.
And I went, I win a majority of our games, but I've lost almost every Navigators game we've played. Like, I've had one with the Fish Corsair Fisherman team, which I think did good because they counter-strike, and I got the first strike.
Mm.
So I barely view that as legitimate. I was, like, going, the only reason I got away with this is because they played the Navigators game. And the last game we played, my Hunters, that was literally, I felt like I did a really good job in that game we played. That was 12-10 though, and that was literally at the point where I had an activation to kill a model, and it was super on the card. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't going to get it.
It's not like it was a clutch play.
Yeah, but if for some reason that had fucked up, I'd have lost that game.
Yeah.
Straight off, like, one, I had one activation to close it out, but if I had, for whatever reason, I'd rolled nothing but ones, no rerolls, you'd have as well as I do, Fathom Ghost, and it wouldn't have even been a question. That would have been tapping range bonus time, fucking back of the net, shit. So when I came in at the round, I wasn't going, like, and I think this is a big part of the winner. Like, we were talking earlier about the tournament, and you kind of felt like you got first place in the fucking tournament, you know, you've done really well, you've clean clock on everyone, but because you brought the Navigators, and you know me, I'm not a fan of the skilled so far. I have to admit, when I came into the grand final, you came in going, I'm playing against Ryan, and Ryan beats me. I came in going, I'm playing against the Navigators, and I can't fucking crack this team.
Mm.
And I really want to do, like, a blow for blow of the game, but the takeaway is, like, I said to you, after we were done, you straight up, you clean my clock straight up. 12-0 with me, not even close. I wasn't even close to getting people dead. I had a kind of activation. I had the kind of activation where if I'd been able to get it off, I would have been able to, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, if I go for that activation, you score and win immediately. I had to do what I can to try and get in the way. But in terms of the actual game, I wouldn't even call this as, like, VP almost on the board. It was just, I didn't.
That's the sort of difference between round one, where I was saying it was 12-1 with Tony, whereas it could have easily been 12-5, 12-6.
Yeah.
When we played, it was 12-0, and another full turn, it was going to be 12-0. There was never.
Actually, it got to the point where I wasn't even on tilt. I wasn't super angry. I wasn't super sad. Just being on the receiving end of what you could do, knowing full well that I'm trying my best to just get in the way of it, and you just going, every single time I tried to take the initiative and push back, there was just something in the way.
Mm.
Always something in the way. Push up. Okay, I get this. All right, push up. All right, I've got 5-inch dodge. Pinned, dodge. I can negate that. Like, okay, I'm finally, all right, I've got the ball. I can push. Oh no, you've got the ball in your half. If I push this tackle, I get really good. And I was betting on a wrap on a basic model, basically.
You were, So you had Chaska off to one side, and you were laying out measurement sticks, sort of looking to go in on Azimuth.
Yeah.
And you looked down and you went, what does Wanda knock down on? I went, nothing. Because you were going through her
yeah.
melee zone, and you were like, fine, I'll eat the damage, because it had been one damage. Well, you were like, fine, I'll eat that. I'm going to come through, and like I saw you just sort of, you put measurement sticks down, and then where Chaska was going to end up, you then measured to my goal, which was in, and you were just sort of, I saw you looking at it, and I could see your thought process was 4-0, it's the vibes, 5-0 for the poise, he's got momentum, that'll go 6-0, and I saw you just sort of go, and you sort of took a bit of a deep breath, and I just went, he's got close control, and you just went, fucking hell, you were just like,
I went from already going, I need 9 tack on a 6 defence model to wrap, to not even, not just not doable, and it was that thing of going like, because Anthemuth already gets so much, that the tech I was factoring in was already so much, and then just to have that extra something on top, going like, a free counter attack, defensive, 6 defence now on this, and I was already going like, I'm betting the fucking family, fuck it out, go big or go home, and if I get this, I'm back on the board, you know, got back into doable territory. When you turned around and went, yeah, all that shit you've already got that you're factoring in and already fucking rolling every of dice, even if he hasn't had close control, I was betting on good luck so much just to push that, maybe into kind of sort of doable territory. Assuming I'm basically looking for a tackle double push, just to make it even doable. And to go, like, when you turned around and went, close control, I went, fucking, that's, even that, with all that stacked against me, I couldn't even go that. I couldn't even have, like, the dream. I couldn't even go, like, I'm rolling now. I'm from 6 defence here. What the fuck? I might get away with it. I was like, I didn't even think it was not even doable, really. But if I did get away with it, I'd at least it'd have paid off. So even go, no, I have all that, and then it's like going fuck. And I went so quickly from like I was trying like outside the box, like Hail Mary thinking to try and get on the board. And yeah, that's the thing with the navigators. It's just every time I go into a model, there's another thing. It's just never me versus the model. It's just always something layered on top, and putting all your effort into it, just going, alright, everything I can do to try and get in the way, 4 models in the way of the fucking goal, forest up in the way of the goal, until you go, I've got 16 inch movement, bang, cut around that, I'm getting a goal, and I don't even have an intervening model, like that would have mattered anyway. And
because the first thing, first turn, I was setting up for that, pass it down the line, Fathom missiles forward, you knew I was setting up for that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So Cena and Fahad were base to base almost directly in front of the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like almost like touching the goal. They were base to base. The forest went down touching one of their bases. So there was like a 40 mil, a 50 mil, and then a 3 inch just all touching, just connecting each other to block line of sight. Yeah. To block line of sight and be intervening. And there was a forest on the end. Then Hearn came round and joined at the other end. And you were just like, that is a wall you have to kick over. That will affect your kick. And the fact that Fathom just went, momentum for the heroic, up she goes. One for acrobatic, up she goes. She's got full speed ahead because she got that. So she's now got 10 inches of sprint. Oh, I can come round with room to spare. So I came round to be, I touched the 8 inch, like I was at the very far extent of my 8 inch, which was almost at a 90 degree angle. You know, it was almost going along the goal line. But I was still like, yeah, I can get there without any of your intervening models or without your blocking line of sight or anything. And you'd put so much into that with the idea that you had a fully stacked Theron who was going to try and get something else. And every single roll missed.
Yeah.
You know, you were going Sunstrike. So you threw down Sunstrike. And then
I normally go for 5-5 in forward. If I've got 6 on, that means I'm going to give her a full strike. And 9 times out of 10, a jog is usually enough for Theron. So I'll do the 2 character play, get a couple of momentum, spend one for the third, and hopefully snare 3 models, get some conditions out there, start trading your momentum.
That's it. Yeah, you set up for the bing bang boom. You went bing, you didn't get it. You went bang, you didn't get it. So you didn't even get to roll your boom. You know, like you just sort of at that point where you looked at where you'd put your models and you looked what happened with Theron, I was just like, you are fucking done. You were out at that point.
Oh, I knew you were gonna get that first turn goal. Like even that's the thing. Against like the fish, when I put all that shit in the way of the goal, I know that I have a very realistic chance of actually stopping your goal. And I've had that with Angel before. Like at Nationals, I had the same thing. Put my models in the way of the base, broke line of sight, had intervening models, and Angel Super Shot went down to 3 dice, 5 TN, didn't get it. Even Angel, one of the best kickers in the game, dice for dice, I can put something in the way that actually hurts her. For 3 intervening models for Angel, I can actually, even for 6 dice, even if I half her, that still makes her worse than the worst kicker the navigator can pass. out there. Mm. By default, if they have enough to burn off time, there is no model I can put below 4-kick.
Yeah.
Flat out. And even when I put all that shit in the way, that you're able to circumvent anyway, that's the thing that makes it really made it super demoralising. I wouldn't not even say demoralising, it put me in the territory of like going, it felt like if I can put 4 activations worth of trying to block this goal in, and you just go, boom, off my starting line, back of the net before, without even a fucking nary a person that can get in the way. It's not even like I've not tried to get in the way and you got it. I mean, I threw everything into trying to block this and it still didn't work.
Mm.
I went from going, alright, I'm on the board to, what the fuck do I even do? If 4 activations worth are stopping the goal, what do these guys do? And every time I went to put my foot in the door, it went, I'm out.
Yeah.
It was never, at no point, and again, I said this about navigating. For I hate to end this one on super negative, like, but I'm kind of going in with my perspective on the grand finals. When you put navigating on the board and you were doing your navigating stuff, at no point did I feel like a claim control of the board.
Yeah.
On not one model that you put out that I felt I could even be under, never mind the rest of the team. I couldn't feel like I could grip anyone.
Yeah.
I couldn't even find one model to get 2VP on and go, I'm gonna bully them.
Yeah.
I get a load of momentum and do all the shit. It was just, it always felt like no matter who I grab a hold of, no matter what I do, you're forever in control of the game. And I couldn't even do that thing I do with fish where I'm like going, it's not going to try and take me out, steamrolling, because as I move from Ebb and Windfinder, I can just mow through models, straight up just mow through them. So I couldn't even do that thing where I'm just going to extend into you and make it work for you. Yeah, I had to play conservatively while being on the receiving end of just and when you scored a second goal, I was measuring out the goal kick and it just dawned on me there was not one place I could put the ball. Even like, say I could choose what dice I got on the spread, even if I got absolutely optimum kick on the goal kick, there was literally nowhere I could put the ball, you couldn't get it. And this is on the final goal, and I've not got a point to my name, and I wasn't even close to getting a point. Like, I had that feeling of going, I'm not even playing. Like, what the fuck do I, like, and I said back to it, going, if I could think of something, I would have done it.
Yeah.
And I think I turned around to you like, I just don't know what to do. Just that thing of turning around and going, I do not know. I think that's the worst thing. I feel like it almost fucked up grand finals for you in a way, because not only is my attitude, again, not even negative, just flatlined, just emotionless. The thing that turned around, I couldn't even put up a fight. I couldn't even go. I couldn't even make you feel like you'd really earned grand finals in a way. It wasn't super close, super hot game where it was like back and forth and it was like the firm going against each other. You just came in and fucking steamrolled me so hard. I'm like going, shit, I may as well just shake an hand for the beginning again for how this has gone. And it made me feel like, A, bad for myself, and then bad for you, going, I didn't even put up a fight. Like, I couldn't even give you something to think about. It was just, I'm out, and there I go. So, and as much as I tried to put on the board, pinned, snipe, forest in the way, intervening models, defensive stance in every other thing, trying to get you snared up, it was like, at no point did I feel like you were uncomfortable with what I was putting on the board.
Yeah.
You never turned around and went, right. He's like, yeah, at that moment of like, how am I going to get this? You were just like going, yeah, he does this, goal. And that's just what it felt like. It felt like there was nothing I could do that made you go. He was just always like, I do that, I get. And it makes me feel bad. Because, like, you're in grand finals, you've mowed through these people, you know, you've played one. And this entire time we've been playing, the whole thing's been, I want Alex to get on the board. And I even said, like, jokingly before, you know, we have, the firm's won. Like, me and you were first and second place. We've won. Like, me, isn't that cool? Instead of enjoying it, because of how bitch I am about the navigators generally, and what they can do and get away with, or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm being my bitch. I'm having my bitchy nod. It kind of made me feel bad. On a few levels that I couldn't even enjoy it for you in a way, because if I'd put you to the very edge, if it had been 12-10, if it had been our last Hunters Navigators game we'd had, I'd have felt really good about that.
Yeah,
kind of like going, Alex clocked me, I'm fucking good, I put everything in, put him to the very edge, one activation away from winning, and he fucking just knocked it out and he got me. The fact I couldn't even put a point on the board, it made me feel like I'd taken like a good game last time finals, you know. And yet it just made me feel like, yeah, just bad in every way possible.
Well, I scored the first goal with Fathom, as I am wont to do.
Yeah.
Then the second one came out of the fact that Azimuth got full speed ahead on him. I had midfield general, which gave him just redonkulous range.
Yeah.
And he charged into a knockdown Theron to like get the netted with a dodge onto Fahad to completely clear everything. I dodged into it, got the goal. That's when the ball came out, and that's when you were stood there with a 10-inch stick, just going because Windfinder had a full stack on her, just like that's when they're like, ready when you are, mate. She hadn't used a legendary yet. And then Ball goes back out, goes onto Fathom. Ball goes back out, Fathom gets it. You take it off Fathom. Next turn, Fathom takes it off you. She's been gut and string and snared. Try and dodge my way out. Can't quite make it. So she boots it straight back over to Ebb, who at this point was so far back that there was nothing you could do. You couldn't reach him.
Yeah.
So he just gets full speed ahead. Up he comes. Uses his own ability to cross straight over the top of someone's base. So he's just winning.
Ferron could reach him and got a character play. He smacked him. Yeah. He got snared and then -2/-2 kick. But even if I put it up, I knew that he was kind of going through the motions.
Yeah.
I put snipe up, but I know it's a matter of mathematics. I can't negate kick.
And what was interesting about the goal to win the game was that it was Ebb who was a two dice kick. Snipe, he went down to one dice.
Yeah.
Crowd out, couldn't go down any further. Kicking from inside a forest, couldn't go down any further.
Yeah.
So a bonus timed him back up to two dice, which is what he would have had to start with. Angel, 4, super shot to 5, Corsair legendary 6, bonus time at 7. Yeah. Snipe goes down to 5, crowd out goes down to 4, forest goes down to 3.
Yeah.
Not as good.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, I rolled, I didn't get it the first time. I had to get the reroll. But yeah, it was it's just soured it a bit.
Yeah,
after about turn 2, we both completely checked out of the game. Like, it was just completely normally while we're playing, even like on clock, even when we like come up against each other in tournaments, we're like, oh yeah, so how was your last game? Oh, is that alright? Oh shit, that was a good play there, mate. Yeah, nice one. Yeah, yeah. Usually, oh, you fucking prick, you pinned me again. You know,
yeah,
that sort of thing. That sort of actually, but we weren't even really talking to each other. There was a point where people kept looking at, because I write down the current score on a little bit of acrylic so I can keep track of it, because when I've tried to use dice I accidentally pick him up because I'm a moron. I was writing it down and the TO Spidey was coming over and he kept looking over and he'd come back and it had gone 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, and then he came back, it was 8-0, and he looked up and I overheard him saying to someone, oh, it's 8-0 but it could go either way, and I just looked up and I was just like, hand across my neck, I was like, nah, and he sort of, and they laughed and I was just kept doing it because they sort of went, ha, I kept doing it there, like, oh really? I was like, yeah, this is a fucking game, it's not. None of us enjoyed it.
You feel good to, like, when you put it down on paper, we both should have come away from this game going like, fuck yeah, firm taking top two, firm for grand finals, we both played our game, but like I say, it didn't even have the quality of, and I know I'm going to be that guy. The more time passes when I reflect on the Navigators, I'm just really going from, they're a brand new team, to I think there's something seriously fucked up about the team.
When we finished, I was saying that like it sort of soured the win for me, and I was just going, oh yeah, cool, yeah, won, oh nice one, yeah, go woo me, first world problems, I won a tournament, boo boo, poor me, you know what I mean, like, fucking. It's like the pitch was saying on one of their on their latest podcast. They said, if it was Twilight, are you talking about Esther's? Are you on Team Aria or are you on Team Wow Wow? And I had every reason after that game to be like, but yeah, wow, look at that! I really turned it around. I won a tournament just in time for season 3 to finish. I started at the start of season 3, never having played a game, and I finished it with a win. Fuck yeah! I'm the big swinging dick. And I came out of it going, I don't know if I've improved recently. I
think you have got better, no doubt. Yeah.
The thing is, though, there was the Leeds meta is especially at Leodis, is exploding. There's so many new players, but because a couple of the players I was going against were, they're not bad players by any stretch of the imagination. They're not bad players at all. They're inexperienced players, which there is a huge difference. There is when I first started playing season 3, I was fundamentally a bad player. I was not good at playing the game. These guys, all three games that I played before you, these are people who are good at the game. There is just tiny, tiny tweaks that I would have made that would have been devastating.
Yeah.
You know, them wins would have been taken off the board straight away with just the slightest change. And the fact that I sort of came away going, oh, but I got there by playing new players, and then someone who famously doesn't know how to play into the Navigators. But then I came away with it with Dave, another local pundit, like Dave Millington, Mr. Coin Wars, was sort of patted me on the back, and he just went, "Don't worry, Alex, you can play them into my morticians or my engineers, and then you can see how you feel about it." I was like, "Oh, good old Dave, trying to cheer me up by threatening to hammer me."
Oh. For me, that was almost the proof in the pudding, where when we had grand finals and the factory just ran through me with effectively kind of no way to resist. When you kind of, you said it to me a bit earlier in the day, but I think it kind of hammered it home for you going, like, you kind of sound like going, I think there might be something about the Navigators that might be just fucking, just crushing people.
Like, so the last few, every time we've spoken about them, you've, like, got a problem with them. And there's a few, I know that a few people have said that we just rag on them, and a few people have said that we're getting really salty about it. The fact of the matter is that every person at this event today was saying that, like, with the slightest change, that would it would stop feeling like the sky is falling. You know, like, a couple of suggestions have been, maybe when you do the reroll, you have to reroll the entire roll.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just take the successes. And then Jamie, I think, suggested, like, why not make it an active trait? They all get it. They all get the full reroll. They get it once each per turn.
Yeah.
You know, any roll you want, once each. And yeah.
You either give up that big charge or you take the kick.
Yeah. But then, I think my problem is I'm a bit deflated at the moment because of how it's come out. Like I said, once season 4 comes out, and once, like, they come out properly, and once the inevitable season 4 first errata comes out, if they come out a bit unscathed, I'm going to start feeling like Billy Big Bollocks, you know? Yeah. But for now, also it didn't feel like a proper win because you can't get them tournament boxes anymore, so I haven't got my gold dice and I haven't got my gold patch. I might have to, you know, I'm going to have to make one, a little gold sticker.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing coming back on it. I feel like we've kind of had the Arkham Storm, had like the initial new tech, fuck this, or fucking navigating, fuck those guys, salty. And I'm on the down arc now where I'm actually having a good think on it, and I'm not coming out the other end where I'm not going for the Arkham Storm where I come out and I'm fucking Rocky 2 in it and going, alright, I've cracked the nut, navigating for my bitch now. Just the more I play on them, it's okay, it get me sad, it's not getting me angry. I just went to neutral, like, not even here.
Yeah. Well, what I found is that I'm starting to crack the blacksmith's nut. I'm starting to figure out how you play into them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing things that I wasn't seeing before, you know, and I'm putting that entirely down to, so I'm putting down the issues we had with them before, I'm putting that down to lack of playing into them, you know. Yeah. The more I play into them, the more I'm starting to figure out how to break them. And I've noticed that we've got an extortionate amount of Navigators gaming since the last card was revealed, and you aren't coming out the other side of it.
Yeah, like, the blacksmith, I totally get that. That's a matter of, I was nasty, but I played against them. And no point did I come away from a blacksmith game going, man, it's not even like going, I was hard done, or they're just banging out damage. But I've ever come to you and going, like, going, I just didn't even feel like it. It just felt like, no matter what I did, it wasn't even slowing them down. It wasn't even a matter where, there was no moment, there was no point I put something down on the board and you just went, oh. that was the one thing I didn't want to happen. It just, no matter what I put down, no matter how heavy handed it was, no matter how much I got in the way or tried to put my foot in the door, the ability to just go, that none of that fucking even matters. And it's merely, to be honest, if I can pin it down on one thing, it's the kick. It's just the fucking kick. It's the ability to not even, you can't get less than 4 kick if you bonus time it. That's the kind of the thing at the end of the day. And they're really not that stark for the momentum. Like,
yeah, I thought they were. No. If you play these guys right, you are not starting momentum. Now, don't get me wrong, you're not getting fish dodge on one, yeah, like stacks of momentum, but if you play them right, you are coming out the other side with momentum.
Yeah. And like I said, that was the thing that really went me wrong with it. Not even that it was just a navigating, it was like, it was in my own personal play going, that feeling of, fuck, I couldn't even give Alex a decent grand finals. Like, I couldn't even give you something to think about. That was my, and you know me, that's for me where the meat of the game is, the meeting of thinking process, and how you kind of counteract each other. And there was more shit I could have done, but I think all it would have done is slowed down the inevitable. Like, I could only think of one thing I would have done differently, like having Chasco run off into your half of the ball and just hope that you just don't come over and tackle it off me, which you were going to do. And even then, I was going, it might have bought me a turn.
I had a plan ready for that.
Yeah.
That's why, what, one, they didn't end up doing anything with it, but had two influence on them for the charge to get it. Then there was also Horizon was floating around, and the idea was going to be charge in, get the wrap, get the tackle with a dodge out of there, drop the ball. Chaska would have already gone. Horizon can come down and set himself up for next turn, or pass out and try and get the ball moving with Windfinder and Azimuth again.
Well, that's the thing. Even saying hypothetically, I might have done this to circumvent the game even more. Instantly, I do this.
Yeah.
Ball back.
Denied.
Yeah, it's like that other thing. Even the ebb thing going, fuck off. I should have maybe, even if I pinned, I think it would have been the same difference. Charge over, dodge, game. And yeah, that ability just to go, not even be challenging. That's the thing. I've lost plenty of games, but I know I've given the other guy moments where they go, you know, that kind of.
Yeah.
All right, and that's, for me, that's kind of my that's probably my favourite part of the game out of all the things I love about Guild Ball. And I do love this game, do not get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, that's, for me, the absolute best part of the game is knowing that I put something down on the table and the other guy has to go, even if they eventually crack it,
yeah,
they have to go, all right, let me have a think. And that's my favourite part, when someone did something to me, all right,
yeah,
let's see. And you've done it with me plenty of times, so you know as well as I do that I'm most into this game when I go, right, let's see how I get around this. And if I get away with it, I'm like going, fucking alright, it took a bit of time.
You want that moment where you're sort of going, there's an issue here, and then you're looking at it, and then you sort of get around it, or you get, like, you, in your case, you sort of go, right, I freed that up so I can get in my mega, like, death activation. Or for me, it's, if I do this and this, then I can dodge out, I can come around, you know. And you sort of, there's that moment, and then you do it, and then you look up and you just go, I'm a genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in our game, there was just a lot of silently sort of drinking water.
and that's the thing, I knew, and I think you'd be fair to admit, I think you knew what I did, that there was nothing I could, on activation, kind of like throwing shit out there, fucking praying against hope on some of them, but I could just sense it, you know, like, I'm not, there's nothing I can do now that Alex doesn't immediately have the answer to. Not only that, not a mediocre answer, or just barely what you kind of want. I mean, what the minimum you need to get immediately get goals.
I wonder how much that different. What I would love, I want the Doctor Strange time stone, right?
Yeah.
I want to play that game thousands of times in a second, and I want to know how well it went for you if you didn't put everything into creating that wall in turn one, because Cena and Fahad were so far back. You know, it's not so much a problem for Hearn because he's got that movement stuff, but them guys were so far out of it. You never got that screw you Cena charge. You know, you never got that big hit.
Even then, it's not like you didn't extend into me. It's not like you were just far back and Cena were just started way far back and Cena's never going to reach. You came to me well within Cena range. It's just literally that my activations became so desperate trying to just keep you, maybe sort of not getting the ball. Because if I don't do anything, it's not a question of whether you score, you just score. And then you have I think it got to the point where I wasn't even trying to stop from scoring, trying to see how many of your activations I can make you eat up before you have to get the goal, or just inevitably get the goal, more importantly. So, like I said, I had Cena locked and loaded on like a potentially 5 VP activation, maybe even 6 VP if it had really gone my way. But I couldn't even think on starting that activation because I had to block again, you know, the ship, the holes in the bottom of my boat, and I have to fucking plug them up immediately. I say, to not plug them up was to lose the game by default. It went from maybe going a chance in hell to, if I don't do it, I just lose.
Yeah.
Just flat out. And and to put all that in and just have you go gone.
Yeah.
Not die throws, not even heart of the card shit. It's just, I am out. And yeah, it's just just putting your hands up going fuck, man, didn't even think about it. Just two, gone, kick. And yeah.
The thing that we said about with Ed, losing that many dice, but you can't go less than one, so we just bonus timed it back up to two,
yeah.
He's on what he started with. If, in the same way that when you lose too much defence, you start gaining, no, what's it?
Character plagues. If you lose too much dice from character plagues, you start gaining TN.
Yeah, so if there was a way that would have happened, then he would have at least gone down to needing sixes.
Potentially five from tapping.
Yeah, well, that's it. He was in tapping, which didn't help. So, yeah.
Well, it really would have been the difference that made the difference. Maybe, I don't know what, I can't remember what you scored on. It's like going to fall three, I'll let you out there.
Yeah.
three, there you go.
I got a two and a three on the tapping, yeah.
So, it's just, one of the things where I think shit like that, where going below kick should incur some kind of penalty. Like I say, the fact I could shave off 4 kick worth of stat and literally just, I get nothing for it whatsoever.
By paying 1 extra momentum, just gone, negate that.
I hate to have this one on negative one, because
we
should.
Yeah.
After we're done, we come home, we had a little rant or whatever. We had a rant on here, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't like to, even though we came in feeling good, I didn't want to have that thing where I go, okay, let's pump up and make it seem more. I do want to reflect how we actually felt in the tournament, or how I felt at least. But the other thing is that by the time we'd had a bit of a sit down and think about it, we came first and second, and I had a good run this tournament.
Yeah, man.
Probably down off win ratio a bit, recovered a bit from nationals, and I felt good. And like I say, the idea that the worst thing that happens, like going, I lost to a teammate, the guy I've been helping to pump up this entire time. And so, you got first place, you win the tournament with the first time place. End of season three. Like, it's literally the arc is complete.
Yeah.
To end it on this and go, and just to be fair, me being a whiny little bitch about it, going,
as you go,
I didn't put up a good enough food. I'm a whiny guy, what are you going to do? to kind of go, oh, I didn't give you a good game for Fortnite. Again, I feel how I feel on the subject, but I don't like going, that's the only, we did alright.
Yeah, man.
And I mean, you clean the house, not a minute there you can beat. And about time, too. Again, I don't want to do it negative, because it's a good thing, and we did feel
four
better.
Four for nothing. When I've started aiming for positive ratios, to not just go two for two. I've gone four for nothing, placed for the first time. And when I placed for the first time, it's because I like the Navigators, I'm going to go to the Navigators, and what I won? I won a limited Siren, Angel, and a limited set of the cards.
Give me your prizes, give me your shoes!
I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's got,
ending season three, boom. Fire. Go on, let's go season four.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to give people at home the impression that, despite the game and our feelings on it, I don't want people listening going, oh man, that's false. Fucking ending first and second in a tournament, and there's nothing better than when they're calling out the prizes, going, second place, all purple baby, Ryan from the firm, first place, Alex from the firm. I'm like, we have got this, and I felt good about it. It's just I think it's almost that kind of story feeling in your head. I wanted, because this is the end of season three, and we started out, we both started playing at the beginning of season three, kind of both new, both fresh. I was doing alright. Again, in many ways, I haven't improved a great deal. I've been sitting second place in fucking how many tournaments. You've gone from being I want to win.
I would like to win again, please.
I like some VP. Just I'll settle for maybe taking out a model, why not? To I'm walking up in first place, Alex Johnson. That's your thing. So the idea for me going, I wanted that grand final to be the Rocky 2, closest you can get, end of season 3, down to the fucking wire.
12-11, 5 seconds on the clock left each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even timed out, 11 each, that kind of thing. I wanted that bit, I kind of wanted the big moment, And the fact I couldn't deliver it really annoyed me. But I did feel good.
Yeah.
First and second place, how cool is that? And I felt bad for feeling bad. We got out of the car going, why am I in such a fucking miserable mood? What's wrong with me?
You know what else is great? The local meta's exploding.
Yeah, fucking.
Which is only a good thing.
Yeah, our tournament sold out. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be one of the first tournaments in season 4. And we're going to be talking about the new season 4 shit, but in terms of tournaments, we're kind of done for now.
Mm.
There's nothing until our tournament at the 20th October. There's no any reason to get pumped up for this game at the minute. And I don't want people walking away from this going, oh, fuck. Navigators, whatever. Again, I feel how I feel, but I can't wait for these new things. We're not just, to be fair, it's not like when season 4 comes out, our whole plan is to play as many new teams as possible. Yeah. I don't want people thinking, Ryan just bitches about Navigators, so when season 4 comes out, he's only ever going to play against Alex. We're both going to be playing a shitload of different teams. We're going to be coming up with strategies and plans. I want to develop my own fresh tech and have it on this podcast first and go, here's what we've not figured out about the season 4 shit yet.
And then we listen to another podcast and go, they got there first.
Whatever. But ladies and gentlemen,
I've got a few things to throw in first.
Yeah, sure.
In Leeds, in the UK, 1st or 2nd of December, I really can't remember, there's going to be an event at Travelling Man, which is going to be cool, because I haven't actually been to the new play space yet, so I'm looking forward to that. But also, if you're in the States, then it sounds like there's going to be a huge tournament by the Strictly Worst guys. Second Wind, it sounds like everything I've heard about it, it's going to be massive. And even though I'm not going to be there, I want it to do well. I love the idea of huge tournaments, doing hugely well. Vengeance being so big, these huge brewery tournaments that these guys arrange in the States are only good for the game, So if you can get there, please do. It's going to be killer. There are going to be people who are much fucking better than us, though.
Not now, first and second.
Ooh.
Firm. Oh, God. Goony neckbeard, status confirmed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been the firm. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you.